Well, it's just lovely to be back. If you're visiting here, so am I really. I've been away for 3 months. And so it's just been a wonderful thing to come here and to recognise what God is doing. I'm aware that some of you have known JJ for longer than I have, and you've probably known his best and worst times, I would imagine, some of you guys. But it's really wonderful that we can gather together and to affirm really what God is doing. My role right now is to give a bit of an insight into how we got to this point. And this is one of this will be one of our high points for many years as a church. This will be one of the most significant things we do as a church. It's really wonderful you're here. We've also experienced in the last couple of months one of the saddest points about the church is when Bob Stock, our founding elder, had to move because of health and had to go down to Kangaroo Valley. And I asked Bob to write a note for this very thing. So here's a note from Bob. It's a message really... Yeah, grandson's there. It's a message to JJ, but it's also a message to all of us. So let me read it to you. My first meeting with JJ, his desire both to be true to his commitment to the Lord Jesus and to live in light with him were evident. Equally so were his honesty and his humility about the struggle he faced in doing so. In discussing this struggle, his sincere desire to learn the way of a disciple became obvious to me. After his marriage to Suna, the couple began to come to Westview services, and very quickly others noted these qualities too. His consistency and his teachability soon became evident to the eldership. Over time, it was the combination of these qualities, and now with the obvious support of Suna, the elders began to wonder if the Lord wanted us leaders to mentor him as a possible future leader. He himself expressed desire to study the Bible more formally and had sought the elders' input about this. Thus, Lee and Tony began to meet with JJ each week in a mentoring relationship, and one which confirmed those qualities we had noted previously and nurtured them. When the opportunity arose for JJ to take a 3-year Bible course at SMBC, Sydney Missionary Bible College, we felt able to encourage him to take this step. He completed this course with distinction last year. During these 3 years, the eldership shared their convictions with the church family and asked them to allow JJ to attend the elders and deacons meetings for his own instruction. More and more opportunities were given him to share in the Sunday teaching and leading program, until earlier this year the church was asked to consider prayerfully whether the Lord had gifted him as an elder for us. The unanimity of our hearts and minds that this was so brings us to the present moment, where with joy and thankfulness to God we have gathered to recognise publicly his ordination of JJ to the eldership of his church. I personally am in awe of God's love, of our Lord's love for his church, and of the way in his faithful care of us he raised up shepherds for the flock. What a joy to recognise yet again what he has done, and giving him honour and praise. That's from Bob Stock. We're going to ask Matthew to come. Matthew is JJ's brother-in-law, all the way from America. And it's lovely he could be here today to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 16.
Thank you.
One Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 16 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Some such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is God's word.
The elders are a gift to the church, to care for those who make up the church. It comes with a heavy responsibility, both as an elder, but also us as church folk. Because we see that God has given this as a gift to guide and to lead the church. And so we as a church need to hear and respond to that to the elders. In the passage today, we have really a two-edged sword. The sword is about, well, JJ's responsibilities, but also our responsibilities as the people of God. The important role of the elder is first to guard the truth, to be that shepherd in the gateway that guards the truth. In the first five verses, Paul is reminding this young apprentice, Timothy, warning them that some will abandon the faith. Some people will give up the faith. They will take on ideas, they will take on thoughts that is not biblical, that is not in the Scriptures, and they will accept it and take it as their faith, and they will teach these things. These ideas will sound very spiritual, okay? These things will sound very good. They might be presented as things that will show you're serious to Jesus, you know? Do these things. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. We read it very clear in Scripture. He tells us to deny ourselves. So surely giving up certain foods or giving up marriage and close intimate human relationships, surely that's a sign of denying yourself. You see the argument? It's very subtle, isn't it? It sounds like it's very spiritual that we're doing what Jesus says. But it's a move from having faith in Jesus alone and what we've just been remembering. It's a move from remembering Jesus, what he's done, and having faith in that, to me being able to show and prove my faith. It is me being able to trust something that I'm doing that shows myself and you that I'm actually a follower of Jesus. It's a move from faith in Jesus, which is, of course, a move from faith. If only we could receive all that God gives us as a gift and receive it with thanks. We human beings, we have the ability to take all that God gives us that is good. We have the ability to take what is good and make it evil. I mean, drugs and alcohol is just the easiest thing to pick on it. And during the week, we've seen footballers who were given medication to relieve painful effects of a surgery. And so they take one tablet, because that's good. They take two tablets, because that would have to be better. They take three tablets because that'd have to be fantastic. They take four tablets because that would just have to be heaven. So it doesn't matter if it's medication or alcohol, it could be for us to be a piece of cake, couldn't it? But, you know, one's never enough. It could be our income, our, what we have never enough. But we have to make sense of the world somehow, and these things are such an easy thing to take in, to rely upon. Paul here plainly says that denying some types of food for your spirituality, for your faith in God, or denying normal human relationships does nothing to bring you closer to God. And in fact, I think he's saying that actually will remove you or take you away from God, because no longer is it faith alone in Jesus, it's faith in what you can do. It's faith in the rules that you make, that you conform to and you make others conform to. That's what the hope is, not in Jesus, it is in these rules. And so a denial of food and marriage is a denial of faith in Jesus alone. And that's why verse 6 here says to elders to point to the truth. If you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister for Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of faith and the good teachings that you follow. And this is the primary role of an elder. We're recognising JJ today, and from today on, this is his primary role, to ensure that we are not misled by mistruth. Of course, anyone in the church can raise an issue with the elders. Is this a problem? Can I talk to you about this? Because the responsibility for this is amongst the eldership. They are the shepherds of God's flock. We have the good shepherd who leads us. The good shepherd gives us people to care for us. So you might pray for wisdom in this area for the elders, and especially for JJ from this day forth. His responsibility is specifically for this church, okay? We are happy for him to influence other churches, but it's specifically for this church, because others may not recognise his authority. But today we are saying we recognise that authority. That's what we're saying very clearly. You may think that from this point that Paul's made it very crystal clear to Timothy. Timothy was his young apprentice in Ephesus, a long way away, so surely he's made it very clear. But again, he summarised this point in the negative and then shows us in the positive. He restates it. He calls these things godless myths, old wives' tales. We're probably not allowed to use that word today, are we? Not too politically correct, old wives' tales. You get the point, don't you? These are godless myths. Deny somehow a certain truth, deny some sort of natural human relationship, and these are godless myths to take you away from God. And Paul here says, have nothing to do with that, rather train yourself for godliness. But can't you just imagine that the people who are denying these foods, and they would be saying, wouldn't they? This is all about godliness. This is about discipline. This is about obedience. This is about being tough. Well, there's a huge problem here. And Paul says that we are to pursue godliness. And he shows us what godliness is. You see, in the time where Paul was, he's 2,000 years ago, the Greek idea was the profound worldview of the day. Beauty was those ripped guys with the six packs. You know, you see the statues, you know, the discus thrower, you know, all those muscles. And physical training was thought to be really important for beauty. We haven't come far, have we, in 3,000 years? But Paul is saying, well, you know, he does acknowledge that physical training may have some value, But godliness is much more important because it's for this life and the next. So what discipline, what training exercises do you think Paul suggests? What's the boot camp that we go to strengthen our faith and to pursue godliness? Does it mean that Timothy was told to pray for 16 hours a day or expect JJ to do? Do we expect him to memorise the whole Bible word for word? Will he have to knock on every door in Doomsday to explain the four spiritual laws? Will he have to perform great miracles? Is this the training for godliness that Paul's talking about? Well, if we look at what Paul told Timothy, we see also how it applies to JJ. I mean, we're all ready to train. What's the regime? What's the discipline? And we are told in verse 9, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. For this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Our hope is not in things that we can think up ourselves. Our hope is not in our political leaders. We know that, don't we? Our hope is not in the laws of the land. Our hope is not on rules that we put on ourselves or rules we put on others. Our hope is simply on the hope we have in Jesus. The hope that God is a living God. This is our hope. This is where we are to focus. We would be prepared to do spiritual pilgrimages, wouldn't we? We'd be prepared to climb mountains for God, barefoot, in the snow, up the rocks, to show how much we love our God. But he doesn't ask for any of that. We want to do those things. We want to show how we love God, but he doesn't never ask us to do anything like that. What are we told to do to pursue godliness? Put our hope in the living God. Well, we are to meditate on the living God. That's the boot camp. That's the gym we've got to go to every day. Meditating on the living God. And is that all? Paul says, focus your life. Make this the object of your life. He does that because he knows there is nothing else. There's no other plan or strategy that can draw you closer to God. It doesn't matter what you do, you cannot come closer to God than God has already revealed himself to you. In Jesus Christ, there is no closer to God. You are brought into relationship with God, the God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. How can you somehow think you can get any closer to God by obeying some rules that people would like to put on you? So this is the focus. And this is, from today on especially, is JJ's responsibility. There will be always new ways that he'll go to conferences, and there'll be always a new way, but three steps that you can build your church. There'll always be new strategies that will ensure him as a Christian leader. There'll always be new thoughts or new plans that you can put in place that you can double the size of your church. But it takes away from this hope. It's going to be useless. It's really good that the bread and the juice and the cups are still there. That's a reminder for us, isn't it? How pathetic is that? Broken bread and juice. But it reminds us of the hope that we have. And if we move past that, we go into deep, dark waters. Well, JJ and every elder needs to, verse 11, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Paul says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. I have no doubt that one day JJ will have to warn us as a church. You'll have to stand up and say there is caution here we need to do. This is moving away from the hope of the living God. But for him, for you, you don't look for excuses. Oh, I'm too young. Or it's just not the right time. Maybe I'm on holidays. This is your responsibility. The wonderful thing is, it's not his responsibility alone. He has a community of elders around him. That's our responsibility. It's the most essential way that we shepherd our people. But we do not want to act, and he will not want to act, as an angry major lording over his soldiers. He is the example to us in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. That's heavy. But that's what he's called to do. He has fellow workers, and we have brought him into the eldership, and we've tried to model what it means to be an elder. He has seen us struggle. He has seen us, I hope, at our best as well as our worst. But what we have done, we want to do for others in our church. God has elders that he wants raised up in every church. I encourage you to, in your own church, to think about how you can raise people up in this role. Timothy was waiting for Paul to come and take over. Timothy was in Ephesus, and he was waiting for Paul to come back. And Paul says to him, while I'm away, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures, to teaching and to preaching. And the message is the same for JJ. Don't let anything distract you from the public reading of scriptures and preaching and teaching. That's his, as the eldership's, primary role. Paul tells Timothy to be diligent in all these things, to devote himself to these things, so that everyone would see his progress. We are here today because we have recognised the progress in JJ. But he's not arrived yet. None of us have. This is a continuing growing as we become more like Jesus. We've seen his preaching and teaching develop. We love his devotion to the word. But like us, he has not arrived. And so you will need to continue to watch your life and your doctrine closely, because they qualify him to be an elder of the church. We care too much for him and for the church to allow his life and doctrine to suffer, to crumble. We could not love him or the church if we stood by and watched it happen. So this is a message to us, the church, as much as it is to him today. As an elder, you have authority over the church people to lead and influence the church. We have a command to submit to him. But God gives the church the authority to take away that authority from him if we see his life and his doctrine crumble. Today, JJ becomes a part of the elders for Westview, given under God the responsibility to mould Christian unity in the church here that he serves. As the church is the bride of Christ, we're looking forward to that wedding supper of the Lamb, and there's no greater responsibility for a person than being an elder of God's people. Let me just say that again. There is no greater responsibility on earth than to be an elder of a church. And we pray and ask God's special anointing him on a task that he's been set aside for. So right now I'm going to call JJ up. Oh boy, you've been looking forward to him coming up, haven't you? Get that guy off. Who is that guy? Anyway. And we're going to... he's going to make some... I'm going to ask him to affirm some things here. Is that mic work?
Yes.
Yeah. It's so that his faith in Jesus Christ and the desire to faithfully serve him may be attested by all, and ask him questions. So I'd like you to listen to very carefully. JJ, do you affirm your belief in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And you confess anew Jesus Christ as Lord?
I do.
Do you believe that you are truly called by God to the office and work of a minister of the Word?
I do.
As far as you understand your heart, do you affirm that your motives, your true motives for seeking ordination, are a desire for the glory of God, love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a passion to serve and follow him?
I do.
Do you accept the divine inspiration of the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, and do you affirm their supreme authority in all matters of faith and conduct?
I do.
Will you diligently practice personal disciplines that guard your heart, nurture your spiritual life, enrich your ministry, and model effective Christian discipleship?
With God's help, I will.
Will you intentionally live in a manner worthy of your high calling, seeking always to be a loving husband and of a good reputation, conducting yourself wisely, graciously, and with integrity towards others?
With God's help, I will.
Will you faithfully pursue your ministry, seeking by the power of the Holy Spirit to teach and preach from the Scriptures the whole counsel of God, lead the people of God in worship, administer their gospel ordinances, shepherd those whom Christ placed under your care, and equip them for their ministry, encourage Christian fellowship and unity, and further the work of mission and evangelism?
With God's help, I will so pursue my ministry.
May the one who has given you the will to do these things also give you the grace to perform them, that the work which God has begun in you may be brought to fulfillment and bear fruit for his glory. We're going to have a time now, it will be a time of prayer. We're going to ask JJ to come and to kneel before us here, and Lee, you can come forward, and the deacons first, and Zuna. And we're going to stand around this guy and pray. He's going to kneel. I wonder why someone would die there. I'll put it back. Zuna. And deacons. And then I'm going to, after these guys come, I'm going to ask you, please, if you'd like to come close and lay your hands on him, or if you can't get him, someone who's near, so come forward, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray God's blessing upon his life. So please stand up and come forward. Come around, come close and close to me. There's a solid thing right here, there's a significant thing to have to put up here.
Stand here with our hands on your gift to us. And JJ, we give you thanks once again for this young man and his willingness to follow you. We thank you, Father, that you have called him, first of all, to believe in your Son, and then, Father, to undertake training now to follow your calling to eldership in Westview. And so, Father, we thank you once again for his life and pray you to bless him and sooner as they take on this role together in our church. And we trust you, Father, to continue to reveal yourself to him and to enable him to do all that he needs to do in this role in our church. We thank you once again, Father, that you have blessed us over so many years with good leadership, with good teaching, to the point where we come here this morning and again give you thanks for JJ and as you lead him into this role in our church. So we pray your blessing on him and on Suna and on our church, Father, as we do this today and in recognising your goodness to us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue praying because we pray that your Spirit will anoint him in the most significant way for this task. No one is up to this. No one is apt to do this. But through your Spirit, through your Word, through your church, you give us all that we need to perform the task, the role that you've given us. And so we ask, Father, that we as a church will be supportive and caring, and Lord, that JJ will be able to fulfill all this, his promise and all the scriptures we have revealed about this role. We thank you again for this gift, and we thank you for him and Sina, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.